This episode features depictions of graphic violence, harm against a minor, and animal cruelty. Listener discretion is advised, especially for listeners under 13. Please note, the story you're about to hear is not a direct retelling of any single depiction of Baba Yaga. Today's episode combines elements from a number of Eastern European legends for dramatic effect. Hello, I'm Vanessa Richardson. Welcome to Mythical Monsters, a Spotify original from Parcast. Each week, we travel the world in search of the most epic creatures from myth and legend, exploring who they are, where they come from, and what they say about the culture they terrorized. You can find all episodes of Mythical Monsters and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. Today, we begin our exploration of the creatures that have frightened children around the world since the beginning of legend itself. Monsters have always been used to help the young learn boundaries and resilience. There's no point in including a dragon in a fairy tale unless it can be beaten, after all. But there are some creatures that are impossible to defeat. You may escape them, but they never truly die. They continue to lurk in the woods, the wilderness, or under your bed. They are eternal, the child hunters, the boogeymen. European folklore is full of stories about witches who cook and eat children, and there's no witch as legendary as Baba Yaga, the crone who lives in a hut mounted on chicken legs. She appears in Slavic stories all throughout Eastern Europe, but is most often seen in fairy tales, where children or young women have to escape her nightmarish home before they're eaten alive. But some legends are even darker still. Cannibalism is only the beginning. Coming up, two sisters take a family trip to a hut made of bone.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Baba Yaga likely owes her continued presence in the modern cultural landscape to her physical attributes. It's hard to forget a witch with iron teeth, especially when she lives in a hut made of bone that walks about on chicken legs. Sometimes she flies through the air astride a broom or within a giant mortar and pestle. Baba Yaga and figures like her make an appearance all throughout the fairy tales and legends of Eastern Europe, from Poland to Russia and even into the Balkans. But most of the written versions of Baba Yaga stories come from traditional Russian folk tales, which are also known as skazki. Some of these stories may feel familiar if you grew up with Western fairy tales, but there are aspects of skazki that make them distinctly Eastern European. They tend to personify the elements. Women marry Frost, though he is married to Snow. Baba Yaga conjures thunderstorms and blizzards as she travels by her mortar and pestle, which allows her to sweep away her footsteps in the fresh snow. If you're very lucky, your interaction with her never involves the storms at all. At times, she's appeared as a kind of helper to fairy tale heroes, offering magic words and enchanted objects to help them prepare for a greater threat. But it's much more likely to find yourself cornered, forced into doing chores for her until she decides to gobble you up. She's the fairy godmother and the evil stepmother combined into one powerful being. And once Baba Yaga wants you, you'll need every resource at your disposal to escape. After all, you're trying to outrun a blizzard. Nadia had been staring at the mouse hole for the past 3 hours, but the crust of bread and cheese she'd left on the floor was untouched. Her mother told her to get back to her chores. Nadia huffed and told her this was a chore. She needed to befriend the mouse. How else would she be ready when adventure called? Her mother cinched her up into her sheepskin coat, reminding Nadia that friends did not like to be stared at. Still, Nadia's eyes remained glued on the empty gap as her mother tugged her out of the house and into the crisp autumn air. The sun was setting, and the breeze bit at Nadia's already rosy nose. Her mother led her across the village. They were going to visit Nadia's sister, Masha, who had just moved in with her husband, Vanya, and his mother, Anfisa Nikolovna. It wasn't that Nadia disliked their new in-laws. It was that they disliked her. And at times, they seemed to dislike Masha, too. Nadia didn't understand it. Masha was the most beautiful woman in the whole world. Her eyes were deep hazel, like old wood, and her hair was red and gold and brown all at once, glinting in the sun like stained glass. She was round and sturdy, with pink cheeks and a smile that was hard to earn, but always worth the effort. Vanya at least acknowledged that Masha was stunning, but he never encouraged his wife to do the things that were important to her, like helping Nadia prepare for her adventures. Nadia tugged self-consciously at her coat as they waited for Anfisa Nikolovna to open the door. When she finally did, she looked even more sour-faced than usual. She squinted at them. "Oh, she's not here. Another time, perhaps." Nadia's mother pressed her hand against the door to keep Anfisa Nikolovna from closing it. Realizing that they would not leave without an explanation, Anfisa Nikolovna said that she had sent Masha into the forest to help Vanya's aunt with some spinning. Masha had been gone for almost a week. A lot of spinning, Anfisa Nikolovna said. Nadia's mother grabbed Nadia's hand and walked away, letting the door slam behind her. When they got home, Nadia watched her mother silently go about her evening chores. Nadia tried to comfort her, but Nadia's mother only snapped back. "This is not one of your stories, Nadezhda. There are no witches or gods or Master Frost in the woods. There's only cold and death. Now stop. I would send you to bed without supper, but I'm sure you'd think me an evil stepmother." Nadia shook her head. She would never. Her mother did not say another word to her the whole night. Nadia didn't know how to help. Didn't her mother know that Masha was pure of heart? She would be safe. The woods and even Master Frost would take pity on her. Wouldn't they? Although it was all too easy to imagine that Anfisa Nikolovna was evil, like all the stepmothers and mothers-in-law in Nadia's stories. Nadia waited until the house was quiet. Then she crept into the kitchen and knelt down next to the mouse hole.
"Hello, Mousykins. I'm sorry to bother you, but I'm in need of advice."
The house did not stir. The hole remained dark and empty. Nadia worried at her lip.
"Please, Mousykins, I need to know if Masha is in danger."
No answer. Nadia crossed her arms, annoyed.
"Fine then, I shall go into the forest by myself in search of my sister."
She turned away from the hole for emphasis, but she kept one eye cracked. No luck. She sniffed and went to her coat.
"That is it. I must go into the forest."
She said it especially loudly this time, but still the mouse didn't appear. Nadia made sure the bread and cheese were still left out as a sign of goodwill. She packed a small bag with some more bread, a candle, matches, and a small knife. Then she buttoned her coat, donned her hat, and set out into the moonlit village. Nadia reminded herself that she'd done everything she was supposed to do. She'd been pure of heart and giving with her time. The animals and forest would take care of her, just as the stories said. She would rescue Masha from her cruel aunt-in-law, and they would return home triumphant. But as she walked, doubt seemed to creep in along with the midnight frost. She didn't really know where Masha had gone, did she? She had only presumed the main forest path was the correct one. Nadia rubbed her hands together to keep warm. What was she looking for anyway? A wolf? An ogre? A talking fox to offer her a boon for kindness? Surely Masha could have managed these things. She was the purest there was. A massive boom shook the woods around her. Nadia ducked and covered her head with her hands. She looked around, but she saw nothing but inky night and ghostly white trees bending in the wind. Another boom followed. The earth quaked below her as whatever it was got closer and closer. Nadia lost her footing, sliding on the leaves that were still slick with frost. She stayed low to the ground, crawling towards the nearest bush. The forest shook again. She heard whole trees snapping like twigs. Another tremor. Another. It was then that Nadia realized she recognized that sound. They were footsteps. The trees behind her stretched and cracked as a huge mass hit the ground not 25 feet away. It was a chicken's foot, leathery and taloned. The avian leg above it bent, and a strange shape emerged from the trees above. A house of twigs and bone. Nothing cut or hammered. It was as if the whole thing had been knitted together, weaving life and death into a strange basket of pale white and deep brown. Its most ordinary features were a rough thatched roof and a few glass windows. Nadia bent even lower. In another step, the walking house would be on top of her. She knew what it was, of course. The home of Baba Yaga, the most powerful witch in all of Russia. A witch who ate little girls like Nadia for breakfast. She held her breath, frozen in panic. The house stepped over her and continued into the chill forest. Nadia watched it go, mind whirring like a spinning wheel. She took a deep breath, then she followed after it. She knew now what had happened to Masha. If she was lucky, she wouldn't be too late to save her. Coming up, Nadia enters the service of a monster. You tell yourself it's only a movie. None of this could ever happen to you.
You feel relieved until you discover what you're watching is based on actual events.
Hi, listeners. It's Vanessa and Greg from the Spotify original from Parcast, Serial Killers. In our Halloween special, Real Horror, we're spotlighting three of the most iconic horror films of all time and telling the terrifying true stories that inspired them.
Recovering the real influences behind characters like Ghostface from the 90s mega-hit Scream, Hannibal Lecter and Buffalo Bill from the Oscar-winning thriller The Silence of the Lambs, and Leatherface from the 70s cult classic The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Enjoy Real Horror, the Serial Killers' three-part Halloween special. Listen to all three episodes the final week of October, free and only on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Now back to the story. Perhaps Nadia shouldn't be following Baba Yaga's hut. She could admit that that was not the best plan she'd ever had, but she had no alternative. Her beloved older sister Masha had been sent into the woods by her evil mother-in-law to meet a supposed aunt who needed spinning done. When Nadia saw the horrible hut with the chicken legs, she knew what became of her. There was no such thing as a coincidence. That was not how stories went. so she ran after the walking house as fast as her 12-year-old legs could carry her. She was quickly losing ground. She called after the building, begging it to wait. The chicken legs kept moving, and the house didn't turn. Nadia took a deep breath, ready to scream at the disappearing house. But instead of a scream, a surprised yelp left her mouth. Something had run across her foot. She looked down. A small gray mouse was looking up at her with eyes that were somehow both beady and judging. She gasped,
"Mousiekins, you followed me. How kind."
Nadia couldn't wait to tell her mother that she hadn't really wasted those bits of bread and cheese. The mouse didn't have eyebrows, per se, but Nadia could have sworn they rose.
"I did not follow you. I was out for a walk and heard you screaming like a fool. Why are you trying to get the attention of the Witch of the Woods?"
Nadia cocked her head.
"You should know that. Didn't you hear me asking you for help at home?"
The mouse sighed.
"No. You can't buy me with bribes like some stupid little bird. I followed you because I find your foolishness amusing."
Nadia was confused.
"That's not how the story goes, unless this is a fool's tale, though fools are usually boys."
The mouse did not argue the point. It ran up Nadia's side and perched on her shoulder. She told it everything she could think of about Masha and the house and Afisa Nikolovna. The mouse in turn said it doubted that Masha was still alive. A week was a long time to be gone. But the mouse still got close to her ear and told her what to say, the key to getting the house's attention. Nadia couldn't see even the faintest outline of a chicken leg. She wasn't sure what direction she should yell in, so she tried all of them, spinning around as she bellowed,
"Hut of bone! Turn around!"
They weren't the kind of magic words she'd imagined, but they did the trick. The woods shook. Trees snapped as she heard the massive bone and twig house reverse direction and come back towards her. There was no time to regret as it strode to a stop right in front of her. The chicken legs bent low to the ground, like the shack was about to lay an egg. She heard a voice screech out the door.
"House! House! I did not tell you to stop!"
A hunched woman who looked to be as old as the hills stumbled out of the door. Her dress was more rag than cloth, like tattered curtains thrown over her gaunt frame. Her high, sharp cheekbones squeezed a pair of bulbous eyes, which looked as if they might pop out if she squinted too hard. The worst, though, was her teeth. They were thick, wide, and had the texture of rusted iron. The witch grumbled to herself as she approached.
"I hate those magic words. Anyway, come in and get to spinning."
Nadia tried to explain that she hadn't come to spin, but Baba Yaga didn't let her finish.
"Ah, you wish to be eaten now, then? Come in. I have borscht on the stove."
She reached out one bony hand. Her nails were yellow and long, almost talon-like. Nadia stepped back.
No, I'm looking for my sister."
Baba Yaga considered her for a moment. Then she closed her skeletal hand into a fist. Invisible pressure squeezed Nadia's body, so hard she thought her bones would break. She cried out, begging for mercy. Baba Yaga's eyes glittered.
"I don't care about your sister. Now do the spinning."
Nadia's foot left the ground. She was flying through the air and into the house of twigs and bone. Nadia's ears were ringing as she lay on the uneven bone floor. The invisible grip had stopped crushing her, but now everything hurt. She felt movement in her coat. The mouse was all right, though it was clearly annoyed at this turn of events. It consoled itself with a crumb of the dark bread Nadia had left in her pocket. Nadia lifted her gaze as best she could, searching for some sign of Masha. There was a wall of herbs and dried plants and caged animals. Some kind of refuse box lay beside a giant cutting board. An unnaturally large raven sat on a perch by the fire. A great cauldron bubbled at one corner of the room. No sign of her sister. She rolled over to face the door to the hut as Baba Yaga stepped in. She pointed to a spinning wheel in the corner. Nadia didn't have it in her to argue. She crawled over to the wheel. She'd never been very good at spinning. Her mother had tried to teach her, but she'd resisted every second. She knew the story of Sleeping Beauty, after all. The wool that lay beside the wheel was strange. It was red, gold, and brown, color changing in the firelight. Nadia gasped. It was like Masha's hair. Masha's thick, beautiful hair. Tears filled Nadia's eyes as she picked up the wool to load it onto the wheel. This couldn't be all that was left of her. This couldn't be the end. She tried to sound innocent as she spoke up.
"This is lovely wool. Where'd you get it?"
Baba Yaga didn't answer. She was focused on beheading a live squirrel she'd removed from a box. The great cleaver came down with a painful thunk. She squeezed the corpse over a bowl that was already half filled with blood. The mouse gasped within Nadia's coat. Nadia opened her mouth to speak again. She felt an invisible hand close around her throat. Baba Yaga didn't turn around.
"Spin, now!"
Nadia blinked the tears away and directed her attention to her task. Sometimes in the stories, you needed to lay low for a while, or even to do a craft or two. Nadia lost herself in the whirring of the wheel and spindle. The hours passed. Dusk had come and gone when she finished up the last of the so-called wool. She blinked in the candlelight and looked to Baba Yaga.
"Finished."
The crone fixed her bulbous eyes on her. She approached to examine the work. After too long, she said,
"Mediocre."
Then she moved over to what Nadia assumed was a rubbish bin. Baba Yaga lifted the lid. Nadia could hear the snipping of scissors. Then a scream escaped the box, ragged and desperate. Nadia woke from her stupor, her attention snapping to the box. The witch dropped the lid, but she wasn't entirely fast enough. For one desperate, lucky, horrible instant, Nadia caught a snatch of wild hair and hazel eyes. Masha was in the box. Coming up, Nadia's evening spins out of control.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now back to the story. The wooden box slammed shut with a noise that echoed through Baba Yaga's hut. The box shook with screams. Nadia's sister was calling her name again and again, cursing, pleading, threatening. Nadia's heart was broken. The little mouse was leaning against her chest, trying to comfort her without words. Masha had been locked in the dark for 5 days, maybe more. Could Masha's mother-in-law have really done this to her on purpose? She'd heard tales of women working with Baba Yaga, though how such a thing happened, she didn't know. Baba Yaga tossed more of Masha's hair at Nadia and told her to get back to work. Nadia struggled to keep her rage and sorrow in check. She wanted to run at the witch, to throttle her with her bare hands. But she knew she would never reach her. That strange, invisible grip would stop her before she even got close. No, this would take some trickery. She thought through all the folk tales she knew, all the tricks and all the tricksters she could imagine. She swallowed and tried to sound nonchalant.
"Yes, ma'am. But may I rest soon? I'm afraid of falling asleep at the spinning wheel and ruining your beautiful wool."
The witch studied her, looking for any sign that she was rattled by seeing Masha. Nadia gave her nothing. Finally, Baba Yaga sighed.
Fine. I'll sleep soon. You may too.
Nadia nodded and made sure to be fussy and effusive in her gratitude. In an hour or two, the witch lay down on a massive bed. Nadia was exhausted in every way, but she couldn't rest. Not yet. Not when Masha was so close. She waited, breathless, until loud snoring came from the witch's bed. Nadia watched Baba Yaga for another 10 minutes, then 10 more. She wanted to be certain both she and her raven were out cold. When she felt brave enough, she dashed over to the box and lifted the lid. The hinges were torturously loud. Nadia froze, eyes darting to the sleeping witch. Baba Yaga didn't wake. Nadia lifted the lid the full way and pulled Masha into her arms. Her sister was almost unrecognizable. Her beautiful hair was gone, aside from a few frizzy patches on the top of her head. Her scalp was raw, and she was covered in dirt. Her eyes were sunken in her round face. Nadia held her close. Then she grabbed her hand and walked to the front porch of the hut. She opened slowly, silently. They stepped out onto the bone and twig porch. The sky was a sea of black and twinkling stars overhead. Masha looked up in awe, but then her face fell.
"Doesn't this seem closer than it should be?"
Nadia froze. The mouse stuck its head out of the jacket, sniffing the air. Her heart pounded in her chest as she took in her surroundings. The sky was very close. The wind was thin and cold. She held Masha's hand as she stepped towards the edge of the porch and looked down. They were hundreds of feet up. The house's chicken legs stretched down to the ground, its feet mere shadows far down below. The house was standing far taller than any building Masha had ever seen. She imagined it as a strange kind of water bird, surveying the rolling river of trees below. It seemed like she could step off the edge and fall for hours. Masha began to cry. Nadia tried to think of something to tell her, but it was no use. That crushing sea of stars was threatening to swallow her up as well. The mouse squeaked nervously beside her ear. She looked down at the chicken feet again. Then she looked at her sister.
"We're getting out of here, Masha."
Masha's voice was still ragged from crying.
"How?"
Nadia allowed herself a small smile.
"Because I know the story."
She looked at the mouse.
"And because birds take bribes."
The mouse stared at her.
"I don't follow."
She led Masha back inside, whispering to them both.
"Trust me."
Nadia went to her bag. She pulled out the loaf of dark bread she'd packed, just in case she'd run into any creatures or disguised gods who asked for help on the road. She clung to the doorframe, pulling Masha close. Then she shouted as loud as she could.
"Hut of bone! Dinner time!"
She broke off a piece of bread and tossed it out the window. At first, nothing happened. Then everything happened at once. The hut lurched under them, leaning forward as the chicken legs bent, bringing them closer and closer to the ground. Baba Yaga screeched in surprise. She landed against the wall, trapped by her own blankets. The building slammed into the dirt and lifted up again almost immediately, back down again, then up, like it was pecking. Nadia clung to the door like it was a life raft as her world plummeted to the ground, only to rise once again. Masha's knuckles were white as she gripped her sister's hand as hard as she could. Nadia tried to find the rhythm of the house's motion. She told herself it was just like a swing. There was a high point and a low point. She just had to feel it. She gave Masha's hand a gentle squeeze as the house touched the ground. Then she turned the handle of the door and let them fall out. They weren't that far from the ground, 12 feet at most. Nadia's knees buckled and her wrists burned as she collapsed to the earth. Then she remembered the house was coming back down. Nadia pulled Masha to her, narrowly avoiding the edge of the front steps as the house struck the ground again. The earth shook, but they had to keep moving, no matter how unsteady they felt or how terrified they were. A cacophony of splintering wood and bone chased them as they staggered to their feet and took off running towards the rising sun. Masha smiled at Nadia. She couldn't believe it. They were on their way home. Thunder shook the forest. The frost swirled in the wind. An arc of lightning cracked the sky. And above it all, Baba Yaga cackled. The color drained from Masha's face. Nadia could see every horror she'd experienced in the last week washing over her. She tried to keep her sister calm. She tried to get her to run. But Masha was stuck to the spot. Thunder rumbled, hail dropped from the sky, then snow. It piled up at an impossible rate, a blizzard in an instant. Nadia was sure that if she let go of Masha's hand, she wouldn't see her again. And above it all, the sound of the witch's glee. A dark shape swooped low. Nadia yanked Masha to the ground. Baba Yaga's paper-skinned talon closed on the air just above their heads. Nadia tried to pull Masha to cover, but her sister was shivering, locked in a prison of her own mind. The witch's laugh stretched and multiplied on the blistering wind. It was impossible to figure out where she was. Nadia bent close to her sister, trying to bring her back to reality enough that they could run. Masha's gaze was far away, staring into the swirling snow. Suddenly, Masha's eyes shifted to Nadia's. Nadia nearly leapt for joy. Before she realized that Masha wasn't looking at her, she was looking behind her. A bony hand grabbed hold of Nadia's coat, yanking her into the air. The crone's eyes blazed in her weathered face as the blizzard churned around them. The witch was holding her by one gnarled hand as the other made a strange motion. Through a seconds-long gap in the snow, Nadia saw that it was clutching a stone pestle as big as her. They were sitting in a giant mortar, floating above the snow. Nadia tried to push the witch away, but the air was getting thinner around her. At this point, if Baba Yaga didn't kill her, the fall would. The witch opened her jaws wider than seemed possible, iron teeth gnashing with hunger and rage. Nadia reached into her bag blindly, hoping for a miracle. There was nothing there. But then two small mouse hands shoved something into her palm, the remains of the loaf of bread. Nadia didn't understand at first. Then she did. She yelled over the snow, waving the bread.
Hut of bone! Dinner!
A creaking of wood and snapping of bone told her the house was nearby. She didn't know how high they were compared to the house itself, but beggars couldn't be choosers. She shoved the rest of the bread into the nest of rags that was Baba Yaga's dress. The witch growled at her, mouth widening to a wrathful scream. She reared back, patting herself in search of the bait. Nadia leaned as far away from her as she could, hooking one leg over the edge of the mortar. The ground looked so far away, she steeled herself to jump. But the house got there first. It crashed into Baba Yaga's side of the mortar, flinging Nadia into the air. She reached out as they all plummeted downwards in a cascade of cracking wood and shattered bone. She was afraid she'd need to fend off the witch, but Baba Yaga appeared to have bigger problems. The house had pinned her against the bottom of her flying mortar, forcing her to fall to earth. Nadia, on the other hand, was falling through cold, open space. She stretched her hands as far as she could, reaching for the hut. Somehow, she managed to catch the edge of the roof. She pulled herself up onto the thatched surface as the house hit the ground with a horrible crunch. Baba Yaga was buried in a pile of broken wood and fractured bone as the hut collapsed on top of her. The massive chicken legs twitched and struggled to right themselves, but it was too late. The house itself was nearly rubble, the last bits of wood and white fell away and the legs went still. Nadia screamed Masha's name, praying that she'd made it out, but she couldn't see her in all the snow. Then the storm gave way to eerie calm. That's when Nadia found Masha lying apart from the debris. She placed her sister's forehead against hers, counting in slow, even increments. Breath by breath, she brought Masha back to herself. Masha jumped up and grabbed her sister's hand. She started running, dragging them out of the clearing and onto the path. Nadia tried to slow her down, to tell her that it was over. The witch was dead. Masha shook her head.
No, Nadia. Escaping the woods is our only chance. She told me. She warned me. She does not stop. She cannot stop. In your stories, does she die?
Nadia thought for a moment. Masha was right, but it didn't make sense. Baba Yaga had been crushed by a house. They made their way down the forest path. The soft lights of their town glittered in front of them. Nadia gave Masha a hug.
See? We did it.
A strange sound rose over the snow. An eerie cracking, thumping, tugging noise, like a loom weaving the strangest fabric imaginable. Wood creaked. A strange hollow sound echoed through the snow-covered trees. Then they heard it. One booming step. Nadia grabbed Masha's hand. As one, they ran towards their town with all the strength they had left. They caught no sight of Chicken Legs, did not hear a scrap of Baba Yaga's laughter, but they didn't slow until they had slammed the door of their mother's house behind them. The house might have been waiting outside the tree line, waiting and watching with Baba Yaga inside, but Nadia still smiled at her mother. She was safe at this moment. And it was time to tell a story of her own. Witches tend to provide a fascinating lens into how exactly a culture views femininity. Elderly witches, or crones specifically, do so by demonstrating the antithesis of feminine ideals, by growing so old that they quote-unquote age out of femininity. They decay. But a figure like Baba Yaga also goes further than that. She stops performing for society. She doesn't hide her decay or quiet it. According to the stories, that makes her truly grotesque, a monster. Meanwhile, Baba Yaga's most common victims are young girls and newly married women. When they enter her realm, these heroines are forced to confront who they might become if they don't conform. They're taught how to be good women. But Baba Yaga's rejection of civilized behavior also removes her from the people she terrorizes, sometimes even from humanity itself. Many folklorists tie Baba Yaga to Slavic storm, death, and fertility gods who were worshipped via bloodletting. The hero of a Baba Yaga tale, then, doesn't just face down a witch. They're facing a creature whose power comes from the elements themselves. Perhaps it's this stature that allows Baba Yaga to transcend the status of bad woman. Folklorist Andreas Johns calls her the ambiguous mother and witch, because there is sometimes a maternal element to her character, particularly when she appears as a helper of heroes and heroines. You never know what you're going to get with Baba Yaga. She could tell you how to defeat a monster, or she can eat you up because you didn't do your chores to her satisfaction. So it's best to be good in her presence and do exactly as you're told. If you're lucky, she'll give you a clue to a great treasure. If you're not, well, hopefully you were nice enough to the nearby forest animals to get some help. You're going to need it. Thanks for listening to Mythical Monsters. We'll be back next week with another terrifying boogeyman. You can find all episodes of Mythical Monsters and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. I'll see you next time. Mythical Monsters is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Nick Johnson, Trent Williamson, and Carly Madden. This episode of Mythical Monsters was written by Jen Riche, edited by Robert Teamstra and Nora Battelle, fact-checked by Bennett Logan, researched by Adriana Gomez, and produced by Travis Clark. I'm Vanessa Richardson.